Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, because we'll be spending most of our time in Genesis this morning, since that's where the promises originate for our covenant promise that was promised to Abraham, referred to as the Abrahamic covenant. And the things that God expected to come from Abraham is also works for us. It's going to work out the same way in the very ways it worked out for Abraham. Father in heaven, we pray again for your blessing upon your precious word. We know it will accomplish much more than what we would ever think it could, because it's your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a blessing it is to share God's word. I know you Sunday school teachers enjoy it. I know Elroy and Mike all enjoy sharing God's word. It's a privilege for a preacher to share his word. We shared it yesterday at the funeral. And I always enjoy sharing God's precious word. Our Bible is a very amazing book. It records for us God's promises. And it's a good record. And we're starting in Genesis. And if you're using the Bible in the pew, it's also page 12. We need to study God's word. Through studying God's word, we can find out what the Lord's will is. And you know you can find God's will in every situation in your life. Whether you're young, teenagers, or old today, God's word is precious and still has things to do for you. Even as you think when you get older, well, what God's going to do for me? He's got special things for you can do, no matter how old you get. And by the way, teenagers, God loves you too, and he wants to direct your lives. He wants you to be happy. And when you're looking for a mate, you make sure you check with the Lord. Because if you don't, you'll be sorry. Okay. All right. We didn't think we had anything from that amen corner, but I can tell you that man understands it because he's went through a couple relationships. You need to consult the Lord. Consult him. Why not ask him to help you? He made you. He knows exactly who would be suited for you. He knows the perfect mate for you. I'm not just picking you girls. I mean anyone that needs a spouse. He has the perfect mate for you. Seek him. Seek him. I just thought of George. George told me when I was talking about baptism, it just reminded me, George. George said I was baptized in a horse trough. Man, that goes along with the scripture when the eunuch said to Philip, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Obviously, you must have said the same thing and found a horse trough. Okay, I just had to share that. That was funny. But you got baptized. You did. You got the job done, didn't you? Good, good. Sometimes it feels like God's not answering our prayer. Boy, did you ever have that happen? I've had it happen. Sometimes I wanted something that God didn't want. But the problem was that I didn't realize it was God's timing, not mine, see? God did eventually give me what I wanted, but it was in his timing, not mine. And I'm not really patient, and I'm sorry, Lord. I know you got a lot of work to do. There's two reasons probably why you might feel like your prayers are not answered. First of all, your request may not be according to his will. Well, I heard someone say one time, if I just win the lottery, I would give the money to, you know, to so many missionaries, and I'd help the church out. Listen, you're not praying for God's will. I can tell you right now, you're not praying for God's will. That's out. That's out. That's your desire. That's not God's desire. That's your desire. Secondly, it might not be based on a true foundation. What do I mean by that? Well, we can't expect God to give us something if we're asking for it according to our own desires. It needs to be his desires as well. And if you make sure it's his desires, he'll make sure it's your desires. See how that works? So when we come to him with requests, We need to understand, we need to have these requests anchored in God's word. They need to be anchored there. And if they're anchored in God's word, we can be assured that he will fulfill exactly those things that we have need of. Let me read that portion in 1 John. I like to read 1 John. All the way back there to the other end of the book, I'll read it for you in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. We know that if we have passed from... That's not it. I'm on chapter, wrong chapter, Roger. There we go. We have this confidence that if we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. All right. Abraham's life, we have a wonderful example of God's ability to fulfill his promise in Abraham's life. Genesis chapter 12, we read the verses 1 through 3. This was an unconditional covenant that God made with Abraham. And we, as we examine this, we're going to see the value of waiting on God. We need to wait on him and let God have his way. Sometimes we jump ahead of God. Sometimes we lag behind him. But we need to learn to walk in his footsteps. We need to walk in his footsteps, like a poem I remember reading about footsteps in the sand. You know, there was two sets of footprints, and at one point there was only one set. And the person thought, well, Lord, why did you leave me? No, I didn't leave you. The one set of footprints were mine. I was carrying you. I was carrying you. I didn't leave you. I promised to never leave you. I carried you during that time. What a wonderful, wonderful Lord. Because I know there's times in your life you're going to need to be carried. And maybe that time's now for God to begin to carry you. We have situations like that. It happens in our life. We see that what these circumstances might be different from Abraham's. But I can tell you that the principles and the lessons are the same that we see in his life. Because God doesn't change. So sometimes we can become frustrated by something that's going on in your life. And so you begin to wonder if God will keep his word. And so with that, I want you to remember these things. The promises of God are always stated clearly. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6 and 9. Let me go back there and read that for you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 9. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Have not I commanded thee to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whether soever thou goest. He is with thee no matter where thou goest. Our Father never gives us any hazy or uncertain directions. He doesn't ask us to figure out what he wants us to do. He loves each and every one of us, and he does so unconditionally. He wants to give us his best. That's why I told you, seek him. Ask him to help you, because he wants to give you the best, and he can do it. He wants you to give you his best to accomplish his purposes in you. The Lord has given us very clear promises in Scripture that cover every aspect of our lives. And if we will cling to them, they will serve as an anchor. When we go through the storms of life, it'll serve as an anchor. Secondly, God's promises come with very clear guidance. They come with clear guidance. Psalms 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee, teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And another good scripture that goes with that. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. And look at verse 6. In all, everybody say all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In all ways acknowledge him. It doesn't matter what your decision you have to make. Bring the Lord into it. Acknowledge him. He'll help you. We prayed for wisdom for the widow, Betty, yesterday at the funeral. When you lose your spouse, you're going to have some decisions you're going to have to make. There'll be things you got to take care of. And we pray for God's wisdom. Ask God. He'll give you wisdom. The Lord doesn't want us to walk in the dark. He's promised to instruct us and guide us. Each day, we make a lot of choices, but we don't have to have a full understanding of some of them, because there's times we don't have an understanding in all our situations. But I can tell you who does. The Lord knows all the details, and he leads us the right way, as he led Abraham through the land of Canaan in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 6. Thirdly, we should seek the Lord's guidance in times of personal worship and meditation. When you're studying the Bible and you're reading, you're having your devotional time. Abraham, after he received the affirmation from our Lord, he responded by building an altar. He built an altar. And so he would return at different times to the altar to worship and remember God's goodness. Today, we have the privilege of seeking the Lord by reading the Bible and praying instead of altars. You can have a family altar at home. Wherever you have your devotional time would be your altar, place of altar. Wherever you worship and have your devotion time, maybe it's a kitchen table, a dining room table, whatever. That maybe perhaps might be your altar, where you study God's word and you read his word and you pray. Wherever you do that becomes your altar. Maybe some of you keep diaries. That's something I've never done. I've never had a diary. I never wrote anything down in a daily journal. Does anybody here do that? Really? You have a daily journal. Wow. Wow. I really never had a journal. I'm just thinking about that. Boy, there's lots of things you could do with a journal, isn't there? I think I watched a couple TV shows where somebody stole somebody's journal to help work on some sort of a mystery crime or something, I think it was. But no, I don't have a journal. Good for you. Sometimes there's these critical decisions you have to make. Ask the Lord to help you make those. I can tell you this. Time spent in prayer is always time that's well spent. Anytime you spend in prayer, that's time well spent. You remember your parents praying? Does anybody remember seeing your parents pray? Wow, what a time to see. That was wonderful to watch Mom and Dad in prayer after they read their Bible and they prayed together. Wow, that was amazing. I'll never forget that. I'll tell you what I never forgot either was my grandpa, after Grandma died, moved in with us, and his bedroom was located across from my bedroom. And, sometimes when I was out dating, I got home a little late. Of course, parents don't go to sleep till their kids come home, you know. They always stay awake. And I remember trying to sneak past my parents' bedroom. Roger, is that you? Yeah, Mom, who else would it be? And I put my lazy head on my pillow, wanted to go to sleep, and what did I hear? I heard my grandpa across the hallway praying. Oh, brother, I'm too tired to pray. I lay there, the longer I lay there, the more convicted I got, because he was still praying, and he's 90 years old. He lived to be 106, so he was still praying. I think that was the way the Lord wanted to have it. He wanted Grandpa to be located right across from my bedroom. So I laid there long enough to realize that I might as well pray because I can't sleep. I hear him pray, and he's hard to hear, and he prayed. He left it. The neighbors could hear him pray. So I said, well, I might as well pray. And I guess you know it must have been okay because this is where I stand today. It won't hurt you. Time spent in prayer is well spent. There's times I wish Grandpa could be here to see me in the pulpit. Because I know that lots of times at the supper table, he'd look at me and he'd say, if I knew what you knew, I'd throw that paintbrush in the can. He was a painter too, you know. But he didn't want me to paint. He wanted me to preach. He always wanted me to preach. I'm preaching, Pappy. I'm doing what you want me to do. Changing course from God's path shows that we doubt his word. Sometimes we think our way's better. And so we change courses. The Lord led Abraham to Canaan. But when he saw there was severe famine, he doubted God, and he decided to go to Egypt instead. And then Abraham further complicated matters by telling Sarah to claim that she was his sister instead of his wife, because the Pharaoh of Egypt had taken her, and he had trouble all night with her. In trouble that wasn't supposed to be. And the Pharaoh said, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Abraham, Abraham. Abraham had a little lax of faith there. Sometimes we do. Don't you blame Abraham. A lot of times we do. We should always remember that following the Lord means he's the source for our direction rather than our circumstances. You see, going our own way places us outside the will of God and only leads to trouble when you decide to do it your way. Also, the Lord renews his promises because he wants us to follow him. Genesis 15, 1 through 7. What it says there is Abraham felt uncertain. Despite God's promises of countless descendants, he remained childless. When he finally decided a servant named Eliezer would be his heir, the Lord appeared again to him and reassured Abraham that he would have a son out of his own loins, like him. Unexpected difficulties sometimes occur in our life. And we might wonder if we're on the right path. And that's why in times of weakness, the Lord encourages us. So the Lord reappeared to reassure Abraham he had promised him an heir. Well, come on. We're 90 years old. And he laughed about it. The Lord said, Abraham, everything is possible with me. All things are possible with me. Don't you laugh. I can make it work. You trust in me. Well, then Sarah got tired of waiting. She provided a handmaiden, Hagar, for Abraham. You go to her and have a child. Sarah, the Lord promised us a child. Well, I'm 90. How am I going to bear a child? You might as well just take Hagar. Well, he did. He should have never listened to her. Adam should have never listened to Eve either. Boy, I could make a message out of this, couldn't I? Oh, boy. It's going in the wrong direction, girls, ladies. It's going in the wrong direction. But you know what? We have a lot of messages today because women don't realize their position. They're to obey their husbands. Obey them. Now, Roger, you can't obey some husbands that beat me. That's different. I didn't talk. It could be a different subject. But the Bible said you're to obey your husbands and be under their rule. To lay the ladies want their own thing. I'm sidetracking a little bit. Yeah, we've had that discussion, haven't we? Okay, so this is why we got a lot of problems. Because the women don't recognize their position where God placed them. And that's why we got so many problems. Right? Listen, it was also men. You can't blame it all on the ladies either. This is two ways, but sometimes the ladies need to hear this. Because they're not hearing it today. I'm sorry, they're not hearing it. They're not mothers today. They're butchering their children. That's not a mother. A mother that aborts a child is a butcher. I'm sorry, I don't agree with abortion. It's murder. It's nothing else but murder. So mothers, don't butcher your children. I can't understand that. Even animals have more respect than some of these mothers have. Oh, don't get me on that. I've got to go back. That's why I have a diagram here, because it's easy for me to chase rabbits. That might be another message. Okay? Listening to ungodly and unwise counsel can cause us to ignore God's promises and veer from his will. Genesis 16 and 4. As time passed, Sarah became impatient. She decided to take matters into her own hands and gave her servant Hagar to Abraham to produce a child instead of waiting for God's timing. Abraham listened to her. Trouble soon followed. And it's just going to happen with us when we ignore what God's promised and go our own way. We will suffer the consequences. Yes, we will. And we have, and we are still suffering them. So, we have the Palestinians over in Israel, and they're constantly doing what? Fighting. Constantly at one another's throat. They can't agree on nothing. Hagar's son, Ishmael, wants what Isaac's supposed to have. God has promised that Isaac would receive the inheritance. Isaac is the son of promise. He is the son that will inherit everything, not Ishmael. Ishmael can be a blessing as well. God said he made a place for Ishmael, but they can't get along. They fight and struggle constantly. Why? Because Sarah got impatient. Take Hagar. You see the mess we have in Israel now? Take Hagar. What a mess. That's why God was so important, so adamant about what he had to say, because he knew the future. He knew what the future looked like because he saw it. He saw the fighting and scrapping that's going on every day in Israel. He saw it. He understood it because he knows the future. He's seen it. That's why he was so wanting him to listen. So the fulfillment of the Lord's promise may seem sometimes to be impossible from our perspective. It certainly was from Abraham and Sarah. When God told them that they'd bear a son, it just seemed so impossible that they laughed. You see, it's the reason why we shouldn't underestimate the Lord. If we are obedient when he challenges us something that might seem to be impossible, he will keep his word and pour out more blessings, amazing blessings than we can even imagine. And like Abraham, we may not always understand God's plan for our lives, but the more we are obedient and follow him, the more our trust in him will grow. And then the fulfillment of his promise may require us to do something that appears contradictory. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. The Lord had clearly said the world would be a blessing through Isaac. He tested Abraham's faith by telling him to sacrifice now his beloved son. Abraham obeyed, and the Lord intervened and provided a ram instead. You see, whenever God tests us, we should follow Abraham's example and live by faith and obedience, not by our emotions, not by human reasoning. And lastly, the fulfillment of the Lord's promises may include the surrender of something that is very dear to us. Genesis 22, verse 2. Isaac was Abraham's treasured child, yet he was willing to surrender him to God. And so we need to each ask ourselves, is there anything so dear to us that we are unwilling to give to the Lord? Think about that. Did you dedicate your children when they were child, when they were just babies? Did you dedicate them? Did you give them to the Lord? Dedicate them. Give them to the Lord. At some point, he may bring us to a moment when his purpose rests on one single decision. And even if that choice is costly, we must do what God asks us and let go of anything we value more than him. He desires that we walk in the center of his will, and that requires our cooperation. He'll do his part by showing us the way, but we must do our part and choose to follow his path and let his word guide you. Have any of you here today experienced the fulfillment of any of God's promises in any areas of your life that you'd like to share? We have just a couple minutes yet. God ever do anything in your life that you'd like to share about? Have you rested on any of God's promises? Anyone can share. Oh, thank you, Fer. How about you? It's your turn. Where did God keep his promise? There's so many things in my life, so many times. No, never had any promise kept? God never been good to you? God never answered any of your prayers? See, God keeps his promise. Ask, and it shall be given. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Anyone else care to share anything? I can tell you, God is good, isn't he, George? God's good. He's faithful. He's faithful. Provided you with a business? Isn't he good? He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Anyone else? It's time to go home. Would you stand with me? Thank you for coming. It's good to see each and every one of you. If you're visiting, I hope I didn't scare you too bad. I hope you come back. I want God's best for your life. And I'll try to find what I can in our Bible to help you along life's way. Because there's lots of things that we have no clue what's tomorrow, you know. A lot of things can happen. We have no guarantees of tomorrow. I'm believing and trusting that I'll see each and every one of you next Sunday, but we have no guarantee of that. Maybe God's going to choose one of you to take you home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for our day today. Thank you for the chance and opportunity I had to share your word to each and every one of these wonderful people who've come to sit and listen to your precious word. Thank you for them. I thank you for their families. I thank you for each and every one of them. I pray, Lord, for them this week. I pray that their week will go better. Help them, Lord, with decisions and things they're going to have to make. They're going to have to make some decisions that aren't easy to make. So, Lord, be there with them and help them to do the right thing, to make the right choices so everybody in the family can be happy and get along. We ask you, Lord, to be with each and every one as it's time now to leave this place and go to our own homes. Give us safe traveling mercies and a wonderful, wonderful week. Lord, just we pray we can let your light shine in each and every one of our lives. Let your light shine in our lives so others can know and understand that you love us. We thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.